Hi, I'm Julie Mason, and this is Intersectionality and Other Lessons from Soc 201. So today I will be interviewing myself, and I'll be asking myself a few questions that will help me summarize and contextualize my studies in Soc 201. So the first question I'm gonna ask is, what is the value of sociological theory? Why is it important? How can it be used as a tool or as a framework to understand the world around us and to understand how knowledge is produced and who controls that knowledge? Theory is valuable because it generalizes and identifies human social experiences. As our social world is so frequently taken for granted, theory just allows us to recognize and explain common sociological phenomena. So let's talk more specifically about a theorist we learn about in this class, Goffman and his theory on presentation of self. We are always on display and always curating our image according to our audience. That's what Goffman essentially says. A specific example of Goffman's theory is how you interact differently with a stranger as opposed to your best friend. With a stranger, you don't know who they are, where they are coming from, or what kind of biases they might have. You tread carefully. You make sure to not share too much information because you don't know them. With your best friend, it's totally different. You already have a prior understanding of their personality, their history, and interests. You trust them, and you have norms and unspoken rules that dictate how you socialize with each other. The stranger and the best friend are two different people that correspondingly have different backgrounds and social interactions with you. So, of course, it makes sense that you view the stranger with caution and the best friend with affection. Goffman's theory helped describe the different social interactions that people have with each other. In a two-person conversation, there is a give and take, a back and forth that happens. We are constantly negotiating what aspects of ourselves we want to reveal to the other person. In Goffman's work, he uses the phrase working consensus to describe the unspoken agreement between two parties in a conversation. This idea closely relates to impression management and being able to control other people's perceptions of you. Impression management requires you to seamlessly shift from the front stage self that you present to the greater public and the backstage self that is kept hidden from other people. Expressiveness, nonverbal cues, and appearance all converge to form the performative self that Goffman refers to. Now that was a long-winded example of one way that sociological theory is valuable, to be able to see normalized social practices that are so deeply ingrained that we fail to see them exist. What about other theorists? How can we make contemporary theory actually seem relevant? I remember some of the theory that we read this semester wasn't written so accessibly. It is important to say that sociological theory is a dynamic body of knowledge that is constantly evolving, moving towards recognizing its problematic past. Patricia Hill Collins and her work are so important because she seriously calls out academia for systematically excluding Black women and women of color in knowledge production. In her words, Black feminist thought reflects the standpoint of its creators, She realizes that black women are strong and intelligent because they have a rich set of experiences to draw from. Historically, academia has been predominantly white and predominantly male. And historically, academia has devalued personal experiences because they are not truly objective. Objective obviously means biased according to a white heterosexual male's positionality and assisting to further elite white male interests. Hill Collins shows how highly objective measures of knowledge production are not as rational as they seem. Black women invoke the experiences of themselves and others to bring meaning to their social world. They are central to their communities and embody an ethics of caring that values expressiveness and emotions. Hill Collins is, again, such an important theorist because she exposes the cracks in the master narrative of epistemology. She centers the black feminist perspective as an important source of lived knowledge and experience. So, Hill Collins and her theories are another illustration of the value of sociological theory. Theory, in its best form, can help amplify the voices of marginalized groups and challenge our prior assumptions of what kind of knowledge is valuable. Why is sociological theory academically useful? Academically, sociological theory can be helpful in unpacking the historical implications of hegemony. Capitalism permeates all spaces of our lives, and its influence is impossible to escape. When we incorporate sociological theory into academic discourse, we understand the social realities that inform our active study and retention of knowledge. Patricia Hill Collins and Tara Yasso and their respective theories can be used to understand the intersecting systems of power and identities that affect how we view the world around us. Tara Yasso and her theory on cultural capital considers the use of critical theory in education and understanding the strength of knowledge of people of color. She pens the term cultural wealth to describe the strength and creativity of immigrants and other communities of color. Linguistically, students of color are more likely to know other languages, have greater aspirations, and have stronger familial relationships. These understandings of cultural wealth can be brought to education, from elementary school to higher education settings, and frame critical race theory in a way that appreciates and uplifts people of color while still recognizing and combating the intersecting systems of oppression that still exist. What about personally? How can we use sociological theory in our daily realities and interactions with one another? Personally, theory can encourage us to acknowledge our own positionality and realize how our identities impact our understanding of daily life. Patricia Hill Collins's work on intersectionality can help us better empathize with other groups of people and become more socially integrated. Separate identities, race, class, gender, sexual orientation, to take a few, intersect with each other to produce different spectrums of social experience. Intersectionality can help us understand our own identities, check our privilege, and better realize how our identities affect other people. You think of historical instances of social unrest and segregation within the U.S., and theories begin to circulate about how to best dismantle racism, sexism, classism, etc. Gordon Allport's contact hypothesis says that when different groups, usually segregated by race, for instance, come into contact with each other under the right circumstances, prejudices and negative stereotypes are decreased. So Allport's hypothesis is one solution to that, and Patricia Hill Collins's intersectionality is another framework that can be used. We are going to go to a quick break. Hang in there with us, and we'll be right back. We're back, and we're gonna keep the conversation going and talk about the pandemic. Where does the current COVID-19 crisis lie in our discussion of contemporary theory? how can we apply contemporary theory to the social unrest that's going on right now that's been caused by COVID-19? The COVID-19 pandemic has dominated the news for over a year and will continue to occupy an important place in the global conversation for the near future. The pandemic has exposed the inequalities and injustices that we've tended to gloss over under normal circumstances. People of color in low-income communities don't have equal access to healthcare and are more likely to be uninsured. Low-income, diverse neighborhoods have been hardest hit by the pandemic and have higher hospitalization and mortality rates. The upper classes are receiving top-quality care, and people of the upper classes are more likely to have remote jobs. Contrastingly, people of a lower socioeconomic status usually don't have jobs or the economic flexibility to allow them to stay at home. The topic of childcare is also pertinent to the conversation about the pandemic. With schools moving to remote learning and parents not able to secure childcare as easily, essential workers who tend to be of the working class have to choose between taking care of their children and going to work. Also complicating that decision is the risk that essential workers have incurred during the pandemic by possibly contracting or spreading the virus to their family members. Now, obviously, with the vaccine being widely circulated, that's not as much of an issue, but for the duration of the pandemic, the majority of the pandemic so far, that has been an important consideration. Another important social change that the pandemic has ushered in is socially stigmatized professions like fast food workers or grocery store clerks have now become sharply defined as essential. And so this label is important because it considers which jobs we need in our daily life to ensure that people have food, healthcare, and security. Arlie Hochschild's theory on emotional labor and the feeling self are important to bring into this discussion and are important to unlocking the implications of pandemic life. According to Hochschild's theory, jobs that require higher amounts of emotional labor, childcare, or service industry jobs, for example, are frowned upon and devalued. This devaluation of emotional labor also has an intersectional aspect that we can add to it. Care jobs in nursing homes and unpaid labor, such as family or childcare, are usually dominated by women and women of color. How do you think we can relate the events of the COVID-19 pandemic to the events of social justice movements that have been taking a hold of the United States, such as the Black Lives Matter movement? Hill Collins' intersectional theory and writings on applying intersectional theory to social protests can help us better link Black Lives Matter movement to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. The coinciding of Black Lives Matter and COVID-19 is not random. They are both global events that are the culmination of intersectional and social unrest at the inequalities that have become exposed to the public. Another example of this that relates to Black Lives Matter is police brutality. Police brutality against people of color has had an extensive history that has contributed to mass incarceration and institutional racism. Another example is recent anti-Asian hate that has accompanied the spread of coronavirus. Harmful rhetoric proposed by our own politicians, our own former president, Trump, labeled COVID-19 as the Chinese virus. thereby linking a scientific public health crisis to China and laying blame for a virus that originated in China to a broader racial group of Asian people. This inflamed xenophobic and white supremacist ideologies that have come to infiltrate social interactions and have harmful, violent consequences for people of color, especially Asians. Even recent protests in Europe against COVID-19 lockdown measures can be interpreted through the intersectional ideas of social protest that Hill Collins mentions in her work. We've just about come to the end of our podcast, but I'm going to ask one last question before we go. How can we use intersectionality and other lessons from Soci 201 to find real solutions to the social problems that we are facing? When I think of the main social issues that plague America today, I, of course, immediately think of the COVID-19 pandemic and the healthcare inequities and medical racism that the pandemic has proven to exist. Recently, I saw an image of a map of countries across the world and their reported numbers of COVID cases. Next to this map was another map that showed the preparedness of countries for a pandemic before the COVID-19 pandemic occurred. The relationship between the two images was opposite of what was expected. Western nations like the United States and the United Kingdom were most prepared to handle a pandemic, but had the most number of cases. African nations that were projected to be least prepared for a pandemic have, in fact, lower numbers of COVID cases. Applying intersectionality to this example, we can understand that larger assumptions about race and progress underline the mainstream perception of Africa as being a continent that only contains poor and underdeveloped countries. Even in the media, African countries are not credited for their own success in curbing COVID-19 cases. Intersectionality is one of the many theoretical frameworks I learned in Soci 201 that can be applied to the systemic racism that is allowed through our healthcare systems, government, and media on larger scales. Even in my own life, I see how intersectionality is increasingly incorporated into new contexts that have never considered social justice and its intersectional offshoots before. I'm a member of the Wellesley Swim and Dive team, and over the past year, even, we've instituted changes on our team to start an active intersectional conversation about social justice and what that means in our sport. And as a part of this, we've introduced weekly social justice chats and discussed how we can increase diversity in swimming to include more people of color, specifically Black and Latinx folks. Other contemporary theories can similarly be applied in real life, as I've discussed in this podcast. Goffman's theory of self as performance, Hochschild's understanding of the feeling self and emotional labor, and Yasso's theory on the cultural wealth that stems from people of color. The applicability of contemporary theory is undisputed, and if the events of the last year have shown anything, it's that the mounting social unrest and public health crises are representative of a new period of change. Sociological theory is needed now more than ever to bring a working vocabulary and set of solutions to the social issues of our world. This concludes my synthesis number 3 podcast, Intersectionality and Other Lessons from Soci 201. Thank you for listening and have a great day.